now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. From classic to cult and the cheese in between, the movies are B, the entertainment is grade A. And I'm your host, Jason Jackanay, and this time out, it's our Christmas episode, and we are going to talk about It's a Wonderful Knife from 2023. And I'll get to it right after this.
Angel Falls, I give you Christmas.
The lights are so pretty. This is perfect.
What did you eat?
Somebody please help me!
Please, we go.
Meryl Waters? Last Christmas still haunts me.
Time to let that go.
No one cares. Everyone would be better off if I was never born.
Did you see that? Did the power go out?
Oh my God. I stood under the aurora and said everyone would be better off if I never existed. Well, wish granted.
The angel strikes every couple of weeks.
How can that be?
Do I know you?
It's Winnie, you know that.
Okay.
This her? Hi. Hi, I'm Henry Waters. You're safe now. He's not gonna get you.
No one in this town knows me.
Who are you?
Dad. You weren't around to stop him, so he just kept going. He likes killing.
I'm here now. Let's have some fun. Hey, you.
Hey. Merry Christmas.
We gotta stop him. And get my life back.
You'll be safe now.
Leave.
It's a Wonderful Knife was released November 10th, 2023, with an 87-minute running time. Your director is Tyler McTierney, and your writer here is Michael Kennedy. Now, that name, Michael Kennedy, might sound familiar. You would know him from Freaky 2020. That's one that my daughter loves. Time Cut from 24. But you might have heard him earlier this year from the movie Hard Eyes, which we covered earlier this year here on this channel. Where are we here? All right. Producers are Seth Kaplan, Michael Kennedy again, and Daniel Berkman. Now, your two main... Well, there's some names here we're going to know. So let's just start with the names we know. Joel McHale, we know him, right? Joel McHale from any number of different things, especially TV and stuff like that, right? Catherine Isabel from the Ginger Snap movies and from Bloody Mary and from any number of horror movies. And then you're going to have Justin Long from, of course, Jeepers Creepers and like Galaxy Quest and whatever. Those are the three big names that you definitely would hopefully know. Now we have Jane Woodop. Now, Jane Woodop and then Jess McLeod, they are going to be two of the main people we're talking about this whole time. Now, I'm going to say this up front so that no one gives me any hate mail about this. Yes, I know that both of those individuals identify as non-binary. In this movie, though, they are playing female characters, so I will refer to them as female in a female pronouns. I don't want anyone getting all uppity, because you know that's not how I roll around here. I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I'm going to refer to them as she or her in those things, because they are both playing female characters in this movie. Whether or not they identify as female outside of this is beyond anything that has a scope to do with Bots, Bugs, and Babes or myself. 100% on a problem. I don't have any problem with that. I have plenty of students who do that, but I'm just saying it now so that no one's like, hey, you called her her. In this movie, they are portraying female characters. There we go. Now that this has been said, you can, if you have a problem, stick it in your pipe and smoke it, because I am just not in the mood for it right now, okay? Your music is Russ Howard III. Production company is Divide and Conquer. This is, of course, this distribution here is, I say, of course, RLJE Films, which means that it's Shudder as well, kind of thing, and that's where I saw this thing originally. Box office of $1.3 million, which is hard to believe, because I don't think this ever, I'm sure it came out somewhere, but it didn't really come out. It didn't come out in America. It was right to Shudder. That's where I saw it originally. And then I did wind up picking it up. I did wind up picking it up on Blu-ray when it came out in 24. Let me just look here. It actually says, It's a Wonderful Night premiered Beyond Fest in October 23. It was released to 923 theaters. Okay, I didn't know that. On November 10th, and then grossed just over $800,000 with $14,000 from the U.S. Emirates, and another $800,000 worldwide. Okay, didn't even know it actually came out. I only knew this as a Shudder movie. I didn't know it actually hit the theaters. But be as it may, totally cool with me. Don't matter. Anyway, our story goes a little something like this. In the town of Angel Falls, where teenager Winnie Carruthers, oh my goodness gracious, I just stumbled on her name. Winnie Carruthers is celebrating the Christmas season with her family. Her father, David, is called away by his business partner, Henry Waters, the CEO of Waters Industry. Okay, so the dad is Joe McHale, and Henry Waters is is Justin Long. Okay, with David in tow, Henry attempts to persuade longtime local resident Roger Evans to sign off on his house to be demolished to make room for a massive shopping mall. But Roger refuses, as he intends to pass the house on to his granddaughter, Kara, who happens to also be Winnie's best friend. Later, a masked assailant known as the Angel kills Roger in his home. At the party that night, the Angel murders Kara and nearly kills Winnie's brother, Jimmy, but Winnie electrocutes the killer with jumper cables from a car battery into the neck. And then she unmasks the Angel, who turns out to be Henry Waters himself. Now that's, and then we hit the credits hit. And again, this movie, obviously, I'm assuming most of you have figured out the pun and the title, It's a Wonderful Knife. This movie is referential. Joe Bob Briggs actually said that the filmmakers here were very much in the style of the Coen brothers, where they're just referencing all these different things. This movie references Scream. It references This Wonderful Life. It references, there's just a laundry list of movies. Supposedly Scream 2 was a big influence. I just don't know where that would have fit in, per se, compared to Scream. But maybe that's because I don't know Scream 2 nearly as well as I know the original Scream. But another story for another day. 1 year later, David is now CEO of Water Industries. Winnie is still grieving Kara's death, while her family has moved on from the events of the previous year. She attends a Christmas party at her boyfriend Robbie's house, where she befriends a social outcast named Bernie, a.k.a., before discovering that Robbie has been cheating on her with her friend Darla for a year. Okay? So the idea is that, she goes to the party, she finds Darla hooking up with him, and they've been cheating on her for a year because she's been totally checked out since the previous year, where she, on Christmas Eve had her best friend murdered in front of her and then killed a guy. But, I guess that's just a normal week for some of us. Anyway, distraught, Winnie goes to the bridge and looks up at the aurora lights in the sky. Now, this is the weird part. The aurora borealis is there, centralized in your kitchen at this time of year. No, that's a Simpson reference. The aurora borealis is there, the aurora lights, which would be impossible to see from there where they are, but okay. And somehow, when she wishes that she had never been born, the aurora borealis now grants that wish. again, you have to be willing to buy all of this to make this movie work, just like you have to buy a lot of other movies. But I'm not sure why they chose Aurora Borealis. Maybe because it seemed simple enough. Maybe because it's just lights in the sky. Maybe because they kind of dreamed this up and figured how can we make this movie pretty cheap and they can shoot things in different little sections and parts and sew it all together, which is what happened. Anyway, here we go. Suddenly, the Aurora disappears and the town's power briefly goes out before returning. After the angel briefly chases Winnie, she learns that the town sheriff is now Henry's younger brother, Buck, who claims he does not recognize her. She is then greeted by Henry, who is now the town's mayor. So he's not dead. He's now the mayor. Winnie goes to see her family, who also does not recognize her, and she realizes that she's been transported to an alternate reality in which she never existed, meaning that the angel is still alive and has already killed several people since the previous year, including her brother, Jimmy. So several people might be underscoring that. 25, 26 people, 27 people? Kind of a bunch. Anyway, upset, Winnie goes to Robbie's Christmas party and encounters Bernie, that's the outcast girl, explaining her plight to her, despite her mild confusion, or disbelief, because let's be honest, would you believe somebody? I wouldn't. Anyway, after narrowly escaping the angel, Bernie and Winnie deduce that the angel has been targeting the teen children of the homeowners whose property Henry's wanted to acquire. Winnie decides she needs to seize her father to help her stop Henry and kill him again, and successfully convinces her Aunt Gail, Catherine Isabel, to help her. Winnie tries to convince her father that Henry killed Jimmy, but David refuses to listen to her and demands that she leave. On her way out, Winnie witnesses the killer murder her mother. The angel then tries to attack Winnie, Bernie, and Gail, but is knocked out. Winnie unmasks the killer, shocked to find that David is behind the mask. Bum, bum, bum. Not, in this case, the previous killer, which was, of course, Henry. So they run away, right? The trio flee. Winnie, Bernie, and Gail escape to the movie theater where they try to lure him in. But we wind up getting, what's his name? The boyfriend. Robbie and Darla show up there. They get themselves murdered because why not? And then at that point, now they're able to, Bernie, and Gail gets stabbed. Bernie is able to, get away. And then Winnie actually stabs her David, her father. And well, now he doesn't know her dad, and kills him. As Winnie and Bernie return to the bridge under the Aurora lights, Bernie reveals that she's been contemplating suicide and that Winnie saved her. So this means that Bernie, who we thought the whole time should be the Clarence character, where Winnie should be the Potter character, George Burns, sorry. It's not Mr. Potter, that kind of thing, right? Actually, the roles are truly reversed in this universe. But are they really reversed? Is it a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, kind of thing? We'll see. And that Winnie has saved her. Winnie wishes that she was born again. Born after all, but nothing happened. She realizes that Henry still poses a danger to the town as mayor, and that he needs to die before Winnie can return to her original timeline. Winnie and Bernie come across a rally being hosted by Henry, where all the attendees appear to be in a trance. Now, they never explain how they're in a trance, but they all have greenish things over their eyes. They're all in a trance. They're all whatever. We don't know how that happens, but again, if you're buying everything up to this point, brah, you're buying the rest of this stuff there too. Anyway, the two confront him and accuse him of the deaths of the past. Henry confirms that he killed Jimmy, and in doing so, broke David's spirit and placed him under his control, making him his accomplice. When Henry attacks Winnie, Bernie stabs him to death using the angel's knife that she has brought with her, breaking his control over the townspeople. As the Aurora reappears, Winnie and Bernie kiss, because why not? I mean, this, and I'm just going to say this, I think like almost every character in this movie is pretty much gay. I don't mean that in a derogatory mean. I mean like the brother is gay and he's got a boyfriend. The aunt is gay with her girlfriend or wife, or it's a wife, technically, sorry, it's her wife, right? It now turns out that our main character, who's been straight up to this point, is now gay. It's totally fine, but I'm going to guarantee you that some people will be like, huh, it seems like there's a lot of it here, because there's not that many characters that we're introduced to. And of our main characters, the two girls we've been following the whole time, they're now gay, which is fine. Again, Jimmy's gay, we know that, right? And then you have the aunt who's gay. So it's totally fine Nothing wrong. Again, don't need any hate mail from this. Just might strike you as odd, but then you realize that the writer, Michael Kennedy, has won at least one GLAAD award for his work in the industry and stuff like that. Anyway, where were we? So they kiss, yada yada. Winnie wakes up in her bedroom on Christmas morning. She cheerfully greets her family, and her parents apologize for not allowing her to process her trauma. Winnie then rushes over to Bernie's house, but Bernie reveals she still has memories of their time together in alternate reality, and they hug before engaging in before agreeing to celebrate Christmas together, as Bernie's family is, you know, we kind of think the dad ran off with whatever. The dad ran off because mom had an affair with Henry. It's convoluted. Anyway, so, so we had Michael Kennedy spoke about his admiration for Jane Goodoff's performance in the television series Yellow Jackets, which would help get her to this role. He also discussed that Justin Long allowed a lot that brought so much to the character, the added stuff on. Justin Long even said that he wanted to make his character completely based off of the televangelist Joel Osteen. And if you know who that is, and once you know that, you see that, it works. So this is, kind of thing where Justin Long also wanted to make sure, as he said, he wanted to channel a boomer smarminess to his role as well. Does this movie work? Yes. This movie is, it is not the best holiday slasher movie ever, okay? But it's, enjoyable. I've seen this movie now twice. I've watched it again for the episode. It does not have good reviews online. I can tell you that overall, most people think it's kind of not great, but it's a horror comedy. And in the vein of like Freaky or in the vein of some of the other things that we've had, I'm thinking back to our Thanksgiving movie, which was Clown in a Cornfield, where it was like Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Right. Or I think, yeah, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Right. The whole thing is like, that's actually, I mean, that's a comedy. It's a horror comedy kind of thing. This is not nearly as funny as that, but it is not, it's not god awful. It's exactly what it says it's going to do on the tin. It's a movie that I watched it when it first came out. I bought the Blu-ray cause I enjoyed it. I've, watched it again now for the podcast. It's not a movie that I'm sitting there going, it's not a trudge to get through. I don't think there's a lot of deeper things that where you'd be missing in a second and third and a fourth watch that you didn't pick up. It's pretty much right on the surface. There's a lot of stuff there. It's very much played to be, aping off of other movies and other things, which is fine. And again, I think they did that ultimately on purpose to kind of play up some of those gags that are in there. Part of the problem is when we're looking at, things like this is, I don't know what some people are expecting out of movies, especially critics. And I don't lay a lot of heedance in what critics say. But to be honest, is that this is just a horror movie. It's just a slasher movie. It doesn't have to change your life. Not every single movie you watch has to be the greatest movie ever. Change your life. Make your make everything better. Solve all your problems. Whatever it might be. It's just kind of a nice little way to kind of be distracted and a waste of time. Now, Haley did not watch this with me either time. Would she like this? Probably. This is right up her alley. It's kind of like, not say smarmy, but it's kind of like the adults kind of don't get the kids and the kids don't get the adults. Again, like the movie we watched at Thanksgiving, Clown in the Cornfield, where they literally couldn't dial the phone because it's rotary. Like, we don't have that here per se, but like it has some of those tropes in it as well, which I think is what they're trying to do is they're trying to play sometimes to that younger audience as well, but I think they're really trying to get the people who are probably in my age group and a little older, who kind of grew up in the 80s and stuff and enjoy, horror slasher movies and stuff like that. They're trying to get those people to come and, plunk down their time to watch their film. So, have you seen this? Let me know. I mean, not the longest episode in the world, but I'm not sure what else there is to talk about this movie, here. The It's available. The last time I checked, it's still on Shudder. It should be on Shudder. I can't imagine it's gone off since you guys are hearing it. But well worth your time to probably watch. I know Joe Bob Briggs covered it on his Christmas Chaos from 24, I think it was that, kind of thing. So if you enjoy Joe Bob Briggs, you might have seen it there. If you haven't seen that episode, you can always go check that out. That's on Shudder as well, which would be, interesting. I mean, he always has great facts and things from behind the scenes, which are always interesting. So. All right, folks, so that about wraps it up for this Christmas edition of the Triple B. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. If you don't, then have a safe and happy holidays. As well as I do, that this time of year, I talk about it all the time, this time of year is hard on a lot of people, especially when life's been kicking you maybe for a long time. This stuff gets really hard. Even if you don't celebrate the holiday, please keep others in mind at this time of year, especially since this is when people are going through a lot of hardships. The end of the year is a hard time for a lot of people. I'm not saying during the year isn't hard, but this is where the most issues tend to arise, just from the timing of the year, the fact that it's winter in some places where it's snowing, snowing and cold and yada yada, kind of thing. Please just kind of keep that in mind. Keep an open heart towards people. Maybe reach out if you think you know someone's in need. And that's one of the themes in this movie, is that Bernie feels that she just wants to kill herself. No one likes her. They treat her like an absolute loser and an outcast and a freak and kind of thing. They don't want her there. And she feels so alone, and that she's desperate to find anybody willing to reach out to her. And then we are able to see, obviously, that since Bernie's, when he's able to see who Bernie is as a real person. That's the reality of life for some people. I was never the popular kid, never the guy who, was like, I was not the fashion plate or any of those, anything how you describe being super popular, it is not describing me. But I always knew that I had worth and I had a place, and kind of thing. And I want to make sure that everyone understands that. I know I say it here. I know I've said it on different episodes, but I understand that not everyone is in the same situation you're in. If you can help people, it'd be great to do that, because we got to take care of each other, folks, because the really real world sometimes don't take care of anybody. Anyway, sorry to get all philosophical and deep, but that's what happens when you're on the Triple B and you're just jibber jabbering away. Anyway, folks, thank you for the downloads and listens. Thank you for your support. Hope everyone has a joyous holiday season, a safe holiday season. That's the most important thing. Be safe. Please be safe. And then we're going to wrap up the year. I'm still contemplating what to end the year with. I had a couple of things that I was toying around with, and I wasn't 100% sure, so I don't want to lead you astray. But I'm going to say this, that you know me. I'll come up with something for the end of the year, and it usually is something with a bang or a kick or a twist or somehow ties back into something else. But the one thing I can guarantee you is, folks, is that, everyone here at Two True Feeks appreciates all your patronage, all the love you give us, all the support, because none of us are getting rich off of this or even making a dime, probably. And we really appreciate that you love what we do and your support. So, folks, like we say here at Bots, Bugs, and Babes, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots, Bugs, Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?